wet is only one of the issues facing Midwestern farmers. It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the 24th day of June. Thanks, as always, everybody, for being with us. Gaming is gambling that you love throwing money around. We've got proof. Fast food is welcoming a new star, and it isn't McDonald's, but we do have something from Mac and Don's. From our Can't We Just Get Along department, two major players are in lawsuits over a name. Speaking of legal, the Supreme Court weighed in on steel tariffs, and new tariffs were announced today against Iran. Those stories and Laura Kennard on business, art, and networking. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company, at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and it is the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Wet. I mean, really, really wet. That's just one of the issues that's plaguing the already battered world of the Midwest grain farmer. The wettest year in memory is stalled planting and stunted crops at a time when farmers are already struggling with low prices and a trade war with China. But they're not alone. The communities they live in and the businesses that support them with seeds, fertilizer, equipment, and services are struggling as credit conditions steadily deteriorate in a very fragile rural economy. Input costs for farmers continue to be impacted. For example, Midwest urea premiums have been running at more than double normal levels. Now, while that might be good news for suppliers, the reason behind the price surge isn't. The Mississippi River has been closed for much of the past month, and the regular flow of crop nutrient shipments has been disrupted with barges stacking up waiting to move. Couple that with a steady deterioration in agricultural credit, according to a report from the Kansas City Federal Reserve. Mix in weather and the high input costs, low corn, bean prices, credit issues. Tough times in America's heartland. It's a big deal in the gambling industry, and one that suggests casinos think you'll continue to pour money into their business. How do we know? El Dorado Resorts has agreed to buy Caesars Entertainment for about $8.5 billion in cash and stock as the company looks to take on competition from larger companies like Las Vegas Sands and Wynn Resorts. The deal comes more than 3 months after Caesars agreed to give billionaire investor Carl Icahn 3 board seats to his representatives and a say in the selection of its next chief executive officer. Icahn, who has been pressing for the sale of Caesars, held nearly a 15% stake in the company as of March 31st. El Dorado's offer of $13.01 per share represents a premium of about 30% to Caesars' closing price on Friday. Caesars, which emerged from bankruptcy in 2017, operates casinos with the Harrah's and Horseshoe brands and owns and operates 34 properties in 9 U.S. states and 3 continents. Through the diligent efforts of those billboard cows and their poor penmanship and dubious spelling skills, Chick-fil-A has moved up in the ranks from the 7th largest restaurant chain in the United States to become the 3rd largest. And that is pretty impressive. The chicken sandwich giant blew past Wendy's, Burger King, and Taco Bell and Subway with nearly $10.5 billion in American store sales. That means the company is up 17% for the year. And what's stunning is that Chick-fil-A stands behind only McDonald's and Starbucks in American sales. You can look to positive marketing, a low entry cost for franchisees, and those waffle fries. What? Waffle fries? Yeah, they are the number one ordered item on the short menu. The skin-on spuds are from Washington State. A medium order rings in at about 360 calories. Fried in canola oil, their distinctive shape have set it apart from other fast food restaurants since the chain debuted in 1967. Chicken, marketing, waffle fries, low cost of entry. Hey, it's Chick-fil-A. We'll leave you with this, by the way. Did you know that half of all meals now eaten are in restaurants? And half of those are fast food restaurants. And half of those are ordered from just 10 companies of all the fast food locations in all of America. Just 10 companies. And Chick-fil-A is now one of them. Staying with fast food for just a moment, investment, it would seem, pays off. Launching fresh beef at McDonald's took more than 4 years and cost its meat suppliers upwards to $60 million to pull it off. Today, McDonald's says it's gained burger market share in the informal eating out category for the first time in 5 years, thanks in part to its nationwide launch of fresh beef. The rollout came as fast food chains fought for customers. McDonald's rival Wendy's has long boasted that its beef patties are never frozen, and it often used that as a way to take a swing at the Chicago-based chain. As struggles to grow traffic persist across the industry, another restaurant company like Burger King has decided to go in a totally different direction, and that would be plant-based meats. Part of McDonald's strategy has been to offer better quality food, even though it can add more complexity to the kitchen and the supply chain. McDonald's had to create refrigerators designed to maintain the right temperature and kitchen utensils for handling fresh beef. The company is also transitioning to using 100% cage-free eggs by 2025. JetBlue Airways has sued Walmart for trademark infringement. What's going on? Well, the airline wants to stop the world's largest retailer from using the name JetBlack for its text-based personal shopping service. In a complaint, JetBlue said JetBlack was a transparent attempt by Walmart to capitalize on the carrier's goodwill and would likely cause significant consumer confusion as the service expands across the United States. JetBlue also said Walmart intended further infringement by using other Jet plus a color names like Jet Gold and Jet Silver, and moving closer to JetBlue's core business by offering travel services, including dining and entertainment recommendations. The complaint said JetBlue owns 43 federal trademark registrations for JetBlue marks, dating back as far as 1999, the year before the Long Island City, New York business carrier began flying passengers. JetBlue is now the sixth largest U.S. airline. Meanwhile, Walmart says they take the issue seriously and will answer the charges in court. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court turned away a challenge to President Donald Trump's tariffs on imported steel brought by an industry group that argued that a key part of the law under which he imposed the duties violates the U.S. Constitution. The justices declined to hear the American Institute for International Steel, which was appealing a March ruling that rejected the group's lawsuit. The Institute is a pro-free trade group that represents steel importers and users of imported steel. Speaking of tariffs, today President Trump announced new sanctions against Iran that he said would deny the regime's leaders access to financial instruments. Trump said the order would deny Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and those closely affiliated with him, access to certain financial resources. Now, the White House did not immediately release details of the sanctions, which will be added to a package of existing economic penalties that the Trump administration has imposed on Iran in devastating effect. You know, just last week, we had a story about finding quality employees in a tight labor market. Well, some companies, however, may just say, forget about it, and go automated. Casey's General Stores is an Ankeny, Iowa-based convenience store chain who's exploring the addition of automated services to address labor shortages in rural Midwestern states. So what does that mean? Ordering kiosks and self-checkout options would be what would result in customers ordering pizzas and tenderloin sandwiches on touchscreen pads. According to the Des Moines Register, the company is saying that automation can be an asset for the company and customers when it comes to improving accuracy and keep lines moving along. Casey's has more than 2,000 stores in 16 states, but rural locations in the Midwest are the company's bread and butter. And in fact, the company says their sweet spot for expansion is communities of 5,000 people or less. The cost of labor and low unemployment across the country is driving the push for automation in the convenience store industry as well as in the fast food industry, and it may be only a matter of time before machines become your face-to-face. However, there are some drawbacks. Casey's sells tobacco and alcohol products, so who's going to check IDs? Right now, the entire project is a thought, one of many as rural America struggles with finding enough people. When we come back, Laura Kennard is with me. Today, we're going to be talking about a whole host of things, including Art Week in Des Moines. You do know that art is a real business, right? That's just a click away, and thanks again for being with us.